Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri Shri Guru
and Sri Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto, chapter 6. And the title of the chapter is, or the canto is the cosmic manifestation. The chapter is Purusha Shukta Confirmed. And we're going to chant verse number 32.
Shri Jami Tani Yukto Ham. Shri Jami Tani Yukto Ham. Haro Harati Tadvasaha. Haro Harati Tadvasaha. Vishwam Purusha Rupena. Vishwam Purusha Rupena. Paripati Tri Shakti Drik. Paripati Tri Shakti Drik. Sri Jamitam Niyukto Ham. Haro Harati Tadvasaha. Vishwam Purusha Rupena. Paripati Tri Shakti Drik. Srijami Tani Yukto Ham. Haro Harati Tadvasaha. Vishwam Purusha Rupena. Paripati Tri Shakti Drik. Please chant. Srijami Tani Yukto Ham. Radhatati Vasata Saha. Mati Sharam Shakti Srik. Amen. Doham. Sutaha. Vasham Purusham Pena. Name Shakti Drik. Tani Yuktoham. Tani Vaksasaha. Vaishnavis. Jamitani Yuktoham. Harati Harati Vitagasaha. Samakena. Hare Shakti Vik. Jamitani Yuktoham. Harotarati Tadvasaha. Vishwan Purusha Rupena. Paripati Tri Shakti Drik. Jamitamni Yuktoham. Haroharati Tadvasaha. Vishwan Purusha Rupena. Paripati Tri Shakti Drik. Srijami. Do create. Tat. By his. Niyukta, appointment. Aham, I. Hara, Lord Shiva. Harati,
destroys. Tatvasaha, under his subordination. Vishvam, the whole universe. Purusha, the personality of Godhead. Rupena, by his eternal form. Paripati, maintains. Trishaktidrik, the controller of three energies. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. By his will, I create. Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in his eternal form as the personality of Godhead, maintains everything. He is the powerful controller of these three energies. Purport. The conception of one without a second is clearly confirmed here. The one is Lord Vasudeva, and only by his different energies and expansions are different manifestations, both in the material and in the spiritual worlds, maintained. In the material world also, Lord Vasudeva is everything, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Vasudeva Savamiti. Everything is Vasudeva only. In the Vedic hymns, also the same Vasudeva is held to be supreme. It is said in the Vedas, Vasudevat paro brahman nachanyo ritosti tatvataha. In fact, there is no greater truth than Vasudeva. And Lord Krishna affirms the same truth in the Bhagavad Gita 7:7. Mata parataram nanyat. There is nothing above me, Lord Krishna. So the conception of oneness, as overly stressed by the impersonalist, is also accepted by the personalist devotee of the Lord. The difference is that the impersonalist denies personality in the ultimate issue, whereas a devotee gives more importance to the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam explains his truth in the verse under discussion. Lord Vasudeva is one without a second, but because he is all-powerful, he can expand himself as well as display his omnipotencies. The Lord is described here as omnipotent by three energies, Tri Shakti Drik. So primarily, his three energies are internal, marginal, and external. This external energy is also displayed in the three modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Similarly, the internal potency is also displayed in three spiritual modes, Sambit, Sandini, and Hladini. The marginal potency, or the living entities, is also spiritual, prakritim vidhi me param. But the living entities are never equal to the Lord. The Lord is narasta samya atishaya. In other words, no one is greater than or equal to the Supreme Lord. So the living entities, including even such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are all subordinate to the Lord. In the material world also, in his eternal form of Vishnu, he maintains and controls all the affairs of the demigods, including Brahma and Shiva. Om Ajnana Timadanda Shaganandana Salakaya Chakshusunmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swabhadantukam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. By his will I create. Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in his eternal form as the personality of Godhead, maintains everything. He is the powerful controller of these three energies. So this is a verse that pretty much summarizes our whole Vedic philosophy. And I like to entitle the class with the heading, The One and Only. Who does that refer to? Ahameva Aditya Param Purusha. Is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He is the Supreme One. He is the Supreme Male. He is the Supreme Person. And He is the one who is in charge and of everything. I heard an interesting question from someone. They asked, what is reality? And they said, reality is the difference between your desires and how the world actually is. And where do these desires come from? In the material world, they come from association. But originally, we know that they came from our original desire to imitate Krishna. And Prabhupada says in, this is a lecture in Mayapur he gave. He said, our natural position is ever liberated, eternally liberated. But because we wanted to imitate Krishna, we wanted to become Krishna, as the Mayavadis want to do. Therefore, in the spiritual world, Krishna is the only enjoyer. Ekam eva adityam. So he's the only one. Aham bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Sarvaloka, not only for the Vaikuntha planets, but these planets also, everywhere. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. Therefore, he is the supreme enjoyer. We cannot be enjoyer. We each can simply be servitor. That is our natural position. Just like a dog. When it serves a master, a nice master, he's happy. So we see if nobody cares for a dog and he just runs the street, then he has no position and he could very easily be killed. But we want to live under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just as to confirm, even in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like an introduction, that even there summarizes our whole philosophy, which is similar to this verse today. I'd like to read that verse. It's 111. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, all-pervading personality Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. So we know, even though Lord Shiva is described as being the destroyer, Lord Brahma is the creator, we see that behind all that is happening by the will of the Supreme Lord. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. And he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. So we know that's what Lord Brahma was, came from the navel of Lord Vishnu. And he, even though he came from his body, he didn't even know who he was. He didn't even know where he came from. And he didn't even know what he wanted to do, what he's supposed to do. So these are the questions Lord Brahma wanted to know. And he found out, oh, I'm an eternal, I'm a Jivara Sarup Nitya Siddha. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And where did I come from? I came from the spiritual world, Sanatan Dham. So this is where he came from. And what was his purpose? It's to help Krishna with the creation of the universe. So, where was I? He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. And it is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So everything is here. It's telling us, you know, who's in charge, who's the one and only one. You know, it shows that even, and who's in charge of the material world, and what is the process to actually get out of here? We have to meditate on him. So this meditation is very important. And if we do that, then we can actually become purified. There's another nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks, it's in the third canto, 28th chapter, 22nd verse. And this is where it's described how Lord Shiva was blessed by bearing on his head the holy water of the Ganges, and which is a source of water that washed the Lord's feet. And the second half of that translation of the verse, it says, the Lord's feet act like thunderbolts hurled to shelter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. So this is, Prabhupada says in the purport there, that a significant point of this verse is that the mind of the conditioned soul, on account of its association with the material energy from time immemorial, contains heaps of dirt in the form of desires to lord it over material nature. So this is where our desires come from, this association of the material world. Once we had that original desire to be like Krishna, imitate Krishna, be one with him, or be the one, so then we are thrown into this material world, and associating with it, we get heaps of desires to do this, to do that. Just by association, you go outside, you see a billboard, and it gives you a desire. You go outside, you see a beautiful form, it gives you a desire. You see a beautiful object, gives you a desire. You get all these desires by associating the material world. Heaps. And Prabhupada said these are like dirts in, dirt built up to a mountain. And this mountain can only be shattered by a thunderbolt. So this is what meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord is like. It is a thunderbolt on this mountain of dirt in the mind. So this is what we want to do, shatter that dirt. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, if a yogi wants to shatter the mountain of dirt in his mind, he should concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord and not imagine something void or impersonal. So this is like we said here, that reality is the difference between your desires and how the world actually is. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're actually finding what is reality? You know, what the world is. Who created the world? What's the purpose of the world? Everything we're understanding. We're not making it up in our mind. So this is being confirmed here. That he should concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord and not imagine something void or impersonal, because the dirt has accumulated like a solid mountain. One must meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for quite a long time. For one who is accustomed to thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord constantly, however, it is a different matter. The devotees are so fixed in the lotus feet of the Lord that they do not think of anything else. Those who practice the yoga system must meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time after following the regulated principles and thereby controlling the senses. So this is confirmed all throughout the Bhagavatam. There's that nice verse in the first canto, which says, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to the Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So this is so nice that if we associate with Krishna through the Vedic literatures, through devotional service, spiritual activities, then it's described here that this personality of God will sprout up at once. And it extinguished all this fire that we have in the mature world suffering here. So in that particular purport, Srila Prabhupada said here, the ultimate result of devotional service is to develop genuine love for the personality of Godhead. Love is a word which is often used in relation with man and woman. And love is the only word that can be properly used. Thank you. To indicate the relationship between Lord Krishna and the living entities. The living entities are mentioned as Prakriti in the Bhagavad Gita. And in Sanskrit, Prakriti is a female object. The Lord is always described as the Parama Purusha, or the supreme male personality. This is what he is, the one. He is the one Purusha, the one male. Thus, the affection between the Lord and the living entities is something like that between the male and the female. Therefore, the term love of Godhead is quite appropriate. So that was nice. So this verse also reminded me of another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam's second chapter of the first canto. Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Para Makka, Vasudeva Para Yoga, Vasudeva Para Kriya, Vasudeva Param Gyanam, Vasudeva Param Tapa, Vasudeva Paro Dharmo, and Vasudeva Para Gati. So it says in the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. Yoga is for realizing him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by him only. He is a supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know him. And religion, dharma, is rendering service unto him. He is the supreme goal of life. So that's nice. So as living entities, we're expanded by his internal potency. And we're, you know, which are eternally liberated souls. Whereas those expand in terms of the material energy, it's described they're eternally conditioned souls. And Prabhupada says in the purport, therefore all culture of knowledge, austerity, sacrifice, and activities should be aimed at changing the quality of the influence that is acting upon us. So again, here, this confirms the association. We get influenced by our presence here and wherever we are in association with. For the present, we're all being controlled by the external energy. So we think actually these are our desires, but they're not really. They come from the material energy. You know, they're pushing us to enjoy this, do this, giving us this desire. Because we're in this place where we're being bombarded by these mountains of dirt, dirty things, and we're getting covered by them. And we think, oh, this is my desire. I want to enjoy. So he says, for the present, we're all being controlled by the external energy of the Lord, and just to change the quality of the influence, we must endeavor to cultivate spiritual energy. So that's what our purpose is. And Prabhupada says, in an initiation ceremony in London in 1971, he said that Krishna's name is Vasudev and that pure state of knowledge of life is called Vasudev. And he said, just like Vasudev was the father of Krishna, and that means that when one is situated in the Vasudev stage, that's the Sudasattva, pure goodness, then Krishna is born. So Krishna born means Krishna becomes visible. He becomes revealed to you. And so Prabhupada says, this initiation process is gradually to raise a devotee to that platform. And that's the platform we are in. So this verse also reminded me of how Krishna is everything, Vasudev is everything. And how we have to understand our goal, what our goal is, And how we understand when even Lord Brahma didn't know where he came from, but he realized he came from the Sanatana Dham. So in this introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, there's a certain section here the Prabhupada says, in this world, men are not meant for quarreling like cats and dogs. Men must be intelligent to realize the importance of human life and refuse to act like ordinary animals. A human being should realize the aim of life, and this direction is given in all Vedic literatures, and the essence is given in Bhagavad Gita. The Vedic literature is not meant for human beings. The Vedic literature is meant for human beings, not for animals. So he says here that the jiva is also described as sanatan, eternal. And the Lord is described as sanatan in the 11th chapter. And we have intimate relationship with the Lord. And because we're all qualitatively one, the sanatan dham, or sky, the sanatan supreme personality, and the sanatan living entities, that the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our sanatan occupation, or sanatan dharma, which is the eternal occupation of the living entity. So we're temporarily engaged in different activities, but all these activities can be purified when we give up these three temporary activities, or these temporary activities, and take up the activities which are prescribed by the Lord. That's called our pure life. And there's an interesting lecture that Prabhupada gave on the Bhagavad Gita in Nairobi in 1975. And this, just to confirm this about desires, he asked Srila Prabhupada, this devotee says, Srila Prabhupada, originally the desires come from the subtle body or from the soul? And Prabhupada said, no, mind. And the devotee says, the mind? And Prabhupada says, soul is now dependent on the mind. Therefore, the mind has to be trained up. So just see, because we want to desire to become like Krishna, we put ourselves under the control of the mind. The soul is actually, he says, dependent on the mind. Therefore, the mind has to be trained up. That is called yoga. Those who are too much on the bodily concept of life, the Hatha Yoga is recommended to control the mind. Yoga Indriya Samyamya. Yoga means to control the senses. So senses, the mind is the master of the senses. Therefore, controlling the mind. Yoga Indriya Samyamya. And then the devotee asks, is there such a thing as having pure spiritual desires in the soul or not? And Prabhupada says, spiritual, you are spiritual. Unless you understand that you are spirit, there is no question of practicing yoga or jnana or bhakti. That is material platform. Karmis, mudas. Unless you understand that you are Brahman, aham brahmasmi, there is no question of other higher processes. Higher other processes, there are four things like karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. So karma is meant for the grossest persons who are simply interested in this body. That is karma. And who are baffled in this body, the concept of life, wants to know that what is the actual life, that is jnani. And then practice of yoga, and the ultimate is bhakti. So then Prabhupada talks about how of all yogis, you know, he's the highest who, you know, worships me. Yoginam api sarvesham. So he's first class yogi. Okay. So I'd like to, there was a very nice meditation by Bhaktitirtha Swami. And this is one of his meditations, is where is Krishna Prem? So this is just the last verse. He says, he's probably talking to his mind. Please forgive me, my friend. I'm always in a terrific hurry. I may die soon. If I do not meet with Krishna Prema, my life will have been a failure. Please come with me. Let us fully prepare ourselves to receive him. He is so dear, but rarely makes himself available. This may be our one and only chance. Let us not take one second for granted. So Krishna is not the only, the one and the only. But also we have one and only chance. And we should take that up. And we have only one and only activity. And this is what the devotees do. This is in a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verse is from the third canto, fifth chapter. O great Supreme Lord, offensive persons whose internal vision has been too affected by external materialistic activities cannot see your lotus feet, but they are seen by your pure devotees, whose one and only aim is to transcendentally enjoy your activities. So this is the aim, one and only aim of a devotee is to enjoy the activities of Krishna. Otherwise, our visions, as it's said in this verse, the internal vision is affected by this external materialistic activities. This is what Brahma had to do. He was looking outside for the source of his existence. He tried to climb down the stem of the lotus, but he didn't find the end. So he went internally for like 1,000 years with the demigods. And then he began to understand who he is. So this is what we have to do. Prabhupada says we have to become introspective. Our only aim is to transcendently enjoy Krishna's activities. And then Prabhupada talks about this. This is the duty of the devotees, is to bring this vision out. And here he ends the purport by saying, offenders have to wait until they receive the mercy of the devotees, and then they can become eligible to see the lotus feet of the Lord within themselves. But due to their offenses and their extreme materialism, they cannot even see the devotees of the Lord. Engaged in external activities, they kill the internal vision. The Lord's devotees, however, do not mind the offenses of the foolish and their many gross and subtle bodily endeavors. The Lord's devotees continue to bestow the blessings of devotion upon all such offenders without hesitation. That is the nature of devotees. So nice. So anyway, we're seeing how Krishna is the one and only. He's the source of everything. And if we just look into the material world, it's very fleeting and it's dim. It's just like a clone or a reflection of Krishna. And it's like it's washed out, reflection of the eternal world. So we see that our society, our relations, relatives, ourselves, we're all made in the divine image, small samples of Krishna. So consequently, by studying ourselves and getting the insight from the Vedic literatures, we can understand something about God and his world. So maybe we could end there and open up for any questions. And there's just one verse I'd like to end with. As long as the fierce desire for sense gratification, so it's the fierce desire for sense gratification and liberation persistently haunt one's heart, how can the taste for devotional service ever blossom in it? An impure heart is the last place for pure devotion to take refuge in and thrive. Pure devotees, in fact, engaged in rendering loving service to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, always experience overflowing happiness and bliss, and therefore they never even think of liberation. So just see the difference. We either have a fierce desire for sense gratification, but if you get absorbed in Krishna's transcendental activities, then we never even think of liberation. So this is the one and only Supreme Person, and we know what our one and only desire should be in activities. So any comments or questions? And realizations? Yes.
Can you please repeat the question that the devotee asked to Srila Prabhupada about?
Oh, sure. So this was a lecture in Nairobi, 1975. And the devotee, he asked Srila Prabhupada, the desires come from the subtle body or from the soul? And Prabhupada said, no, mind. So he said, oh, the mind? And Prabhupada said, soul is now dependent on the mind. Therefore, mind has to be trained up. That is called yoga. And then he says, is there such a thing as having pure spiritual desires in the soul or not? And he said, spiritual you are, unless you understand that you're a spirit, there's no question of practicing yoga or jnana. Otherwise, you're just a karmi. So you understand that you're a spirit. Otherwise, there's no question of higher processes.
So now, let's say, if somebody asks the question that you were mentioning about desires and everything comes from Krishna. So if we said, could that be equally be applicable to say that when you leave the association of Krishna originally, that it came from where the desire when you left?
Oh, the desire. Where did the desire come from to leave Krishna? That I want to be Krishna? Yeah, that desire came from our free will, our misuse of our free independent will. Our minute independent will. Because love doesn't mean force. Krishna doesn't force us to love him. If he did, then we would be like robots. We would be like slaves. So real love is free will. You have to really have the desire from the heart. So because we have that freedom, we want to see, oh, what is it like here? Oh, maybe I could be like Krishna too. So immediately you're covered by Maya, and then you're under the charge of the mind. And the mind is like dragging you from here to there, you know, observing things, this, that. And then we get desires, more and more desires are building up from, just imagine from lifetimes, like a mountain of desires.
It's very easy to understand when it's applicable in the material world here.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit hard when it's up there.
Yeah. But that's why Krishna created in such a way, as I mentioned, it's like a perverted reflection of what's happening in Krishna's world. By studying this world, we can understand what it's like there. You see? And developing relationships, you know, amongst devotees, we can see what relationships are there. That's why the Chaitanya Charitamrita is so nice. It gives us something we can relate to. Like in the Bhagavatam, there's so many far-out stories that, you know, like amazing. You know, even they got the reputation of being mythical or fantastic or fairy tales or something. But actually, no, they're reality. But to understand them is sometimes very difficult. But we can understand relationships, like relationships in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can say, oh, I can relate to that. You know, I can relate to this devotee. I can relate to that relationship. I can relate to this difficulty. It's very personal. Krishna is that one person that we want to be with. And we practiced amongst each other. Because Krishna is in every one of us. He's there. Eternally. He's your best friend. And he's just looking for an opportunity to attract you. So, yeah, I think it's 8:31. I guess we're trying to keep punctual. So, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.